Mrs. Harav, Rabbi Jacobson, Haveri. The next kina, kina number 10, Echa Yashva Chametel Hasharon, Erbozar Kalir, is a masterpiece of language, style, and ultimately Musar. This kina focuses on the loss and the destruction of the Shevet of the Kohanim and the Mishmaros, and especially on the loss of the special relationship that Am Yisrael had with the Kohanim as the medium through which so much of our Avodas Hashem and a relationship with Ribono Shel Olam was filtered during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the few minutes that I have, I'd like to focus a little bit on an exploration of the Kohanim and their role in our lives, a little bit on the Musar that's inherent in this kina, and it's impossible to read a kina of Rabbi Elazar Kalir without focusing a little bit on the language. The structure of the kina is 24 stanzas, taking advantage of the the coincidence of there being 24 letters in the Aleph Beis and 24 Mishmaros which were destroyed. Each stanza mentions the name of one of the Mishmaros or one of their cities. Rabbi Elazar Kalir apparently had sources which are no longer extant, and some of the only sources for names of either the Mishmaros or the cities comes from this kina. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to do, Bezras Hashem. So this kina encourages us to sort of close our eyes and, like much of Tisha B'Av, imagine a time and a way of life that is no longer. The kina calls our attention to what was and to what no longer is, but paints for us a portrait of what might be in the future. We discussed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself and of Yerushalayim, and by moving on to the destruction of the Kohanim, Rabbi Elazar Kalir calls our attention to the fact that to a great extent, the Kohanim themselves were an extension of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Makom HaMikdash. It's interesting, the Rambam in his section in the Arach HaZaka that speaks about the halachos of the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, he refers to that section as Hilchos Klei HaMikdash V'Ha'ovdim Bo. It would conceptualize the Kohanim and all the Levim, of course, as a partner, as Kibyachol Klei HaMikdash. They were a part of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and as such, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash also includes the destruction of the Kohanim as something into itself. Not only were the Kohanim central to the functioning of the Beis HaMikdash, but also in the community life. The Kohanim basically spent their year cycling between their role in the community and their role in the Mikdash. Their role in the Mikdash was through what was called Mishmaros. Each family of the Kohanim spent two one-week periods serving as the main Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So when one would come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a karban or whatever they were bringing or doing, the Kohanim would help service them and help them have the ultimate elevated spiritual experience which they sought when they came to the Beis HaMikdash. But the other 52 weeks per year, the Kohanim were in the community. And they lived in the community and they serviced the community. And every family had a special relationship with their Kohen or Kohanim. And they were an integral part of the family and community life. It's fascinating, we know that Kivyachal, the Ribono Shel Olam's Havamina, the way that Hashem wanted things to run initially, was that the Bechorim would be the Kohanim, and this emphasizes the fact that the Kohen was ultimately meant to be ensconced within each family, within each home. Imagine if you had the Bechor, or the Kohen, living within the home, filtering and helping to strengthen the Avodas Hashem of each family. The machlokas in the Gemara, though it's a technical machlokas, or not a machlokas, but a question, whether we conceptualize the Kohanim as primarily being the shlichim of Am Yisrael, being the shlichim of the Ribono Shel Olam, highlights this dual aspect. Again, it's a technical machlokas, but the fact that the machlokas even exists highlights the fact that the Kohanim were both firmly ensconced in the Beis HaMikdash and firmly ensconced in our lives in the community. So imagine for a moment an entire Shevet scattered throughout the land with essentially no connection to material life, no real ownership of property, no real meaningful parnasa, whose entire existence was not focused on their avodas Hashem only, but was focused on our avodas Hashem. Okay, the farmer, planted his field, harvested the field, whoever was cooking the food in the home, the balabasta, was being mafish chala. Shilas would come up in halacha, in tumen tahara, negayim, maros, every type of shilas would come up. And the Kohen, who kivyachol was living in the family's home, would be called upon to help strengthen this bond. Every time a woman was mafish chala and brought the truma l'Hashem, not to Hashem, but to the Kohen who was representing Hashem, this would strengthen this very intense connection between our lives and Avodas Hashem. And this was all filtered through the Kohanim in our neighborhood and the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chazal, the Rishonim, will speak about how a portion of the inspiration of being Ola L'Regel, beyond our own personal tefillah that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash or Havas HaKabanos, was a seeing the Kohanim and of course the Levim, who were totally dedicated to the Avodas Hashem there in the Beis HaMikdash, and this was meant to inspire us as well. And part of why that was so inspiring, coming to the Beis HaMikdash and seeing the Kohanim, was because we had a very strong, intense personal relationship with the Kohanim in our day-to-day life. And as such, this was very inspiring to us. The loss, of course, of the Beis HaMikdash, but this kina focuses on focuses upon the loss of the Kohanim, is part of the national tragedy. We can't really, just like we can't really imagine what life was like with the Beis HaMikdash, bringing karbanos, being Ola L'Regel, having a hashras hashchina that was omnipresent and could be felt with nisim every single day, every single hour of every single day. We can't really conceptualize what that was. So too, it is difficult to conceptualize the structure of community life around Kohanim, who were again there on a minute-to-minute basis, helping us, Yivachazik Avodas Hashem, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the community. And so this kina invites us to kind of imagine what life would be like in the ideal circumstances. According to the Rambam, the structure of the Mishmaros and this sort of cycle throughout the year is actually one of the 613 mitzvahs. Now, I'd like to shift a little bit. If you could open your kinas to this kina, I want to focus a little bit on a little bit of the language. Pardon me. The name of the kina, Echa Yashva Chametzelas Asharot. How terribly was the aloneness and the sitting aloneness of the Chametzelas Asharot? What is the Chametzelas Asharot, and why is this kina introduced with this? So of course, the immediate allusion is to the pasuk in Shir Hashirim in the beginning of Perek Beis, where Am Yisrael, in its intense, most intimate relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, is given this nickname, this almost romantic name of the Chametzelas Hasharon, Shoshanas HaMakim. The Am Yisrael itself refers to herself as this Chametzelas Hasharon, Shoshanas HaMakim, which is some type of orchid, lily, rose. But what's fascinating is that the Malbim and other Mefarshim point out that the characteristic of this flower and why this flower is chosen to be the lover's name by which Am Yisrael is known in its most intense relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam is because this flower has the characteristic that it seeks out the sun in the sky and tracks it throughout the day. And it has this feature of seeking out the sun, seeking out its source of life, its source of energy. And Am Yisrael, when we're in sync and when we're in harmony with Ribono Shel Olam, we pride ourselves in being like this Chametzelis Hasharot. We seek Hashem, we're receptive to Hashem, we're open to the energy of the sun, of Hashem, and this is the greatest Shevach that Am Yisrael can have. And of course, this very close, dynamic, intimate relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam was brought about to a very great degree through the Kohanim. The Rabbi Elazar Kalir chooses this name to introduce the Kinah as a form of poetic, I don't know if irony is the right word, but in discussing our distance and our separation from the Ribono Shel Olam, Elazar Kalir invokes the name that was used when we were the closest with Ribono Shel Olam. It's meant to be jarring, it's meant to be painful, it's meant to awaken us. The Targum Yonasan, that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, not only defines this level of closeness as during the time when the Shekhinah was Shora in Am Yisrael. At the time, Amaras Kamisha the Yisrael, Am Yisrael said, Be'idan Demeshre Mari Amma Shchinte Beni, at the time when we feel the Ashras HaShekhinah in Am Yisrael through the Beis HaMikdash, it's at that time that I, Am Yisrael, am like this lily that seeks out its source of life, its source of energy, tries to be responsive to it, and track it throughout the day. And Rav Elazar Kalir, by beginning the kina with this word, is tipping his hand to the type of poetry and literary device that's used in this kina. The kina uses not only rhyme, but extensive use of homonym. In most of the kinos, there's a rhyming at the end of each line, sometimes within the line to the end of the line. But this kina, to a very great degree, utilizes homonyms, meaning words which are identical in their sound, or nearly identical in their sound, but have very different meanings. And as we'll see together in a couple of examples, this creates a jarring effect, where you hear a word in one line that means something very positive, and then you hear nearly the very same word in a different line that means just the opposite, or means a very different theme. And this helps, this is meant to be disorienting, it's meant to shake us up, it's meant to make us feel like, what's going on here? Is this good? Is this bad? Are we here? Are we there? It calls to mind the pasuk in the Tocha in Kisavo. Va'yuchayecha tulum l'cha mineged u'pacharet alayla v'yoman v'lo ta'amin b'chayecha v'boker tomar mi yitin erev v'erev tomar mi yitin boker v'pacha levavcha asher tivchad v'mimare enecha asher tireh. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, is disorienting and creates a certain kind of confusion within us. And speaking about Chametzelas HaSharon, where we're close to Ribono Shel Olam, we're distant from the Ribono Shel Olam, and as we'll see throughout the Kina, the use of homonyms helps to strengthen this sense of disorientation, almost a delirium-like state. Let's look together at a couple of these of stanzas so we can get a sense of this together. Then we'll recite the Kina together. So let's look at the second stanza, the one beginning with the letter Bet. So, Bacho Tivkeh Mechumeshes Sfarim. This either means the Torah should be crying, or more likely, Am Yisrael, who's armed with the Sfarim, should wail, should cry. Kinerah Kohen V'Navi V'Yom HaKippurim. At the killing of the Kohen, the Navi referred to the story of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, which we'll see in a later Kina, and Yom HaKippur. V'Al Damo Nishchatu Perachim Kitzfirim. And on his blood were slaughtered by Nebuzaradan the Pirchei Kohuna, the young holy Kohanim, and as well as others. Kitzvirim, Svir is the Targum for Seirim. The Nadu Kitziporim, and they migrated, they flew away like birds. Kohane Siporim, the Kohanim from Siporim, or from the Mishmeret called Siporim. And so here in this little stanza, we have this word Sefirim, Siporim, Siporim, nearly the identical word, which shakes us into sort of this a dizzy daze. We're talking about Kohanim, or were they Seirim, or were they birds? They were being slaughtered, they were being chased away, they were Sipori, and it shakes us up, like the use of the word Chavetzelet HaSharon. Let's look at the next one, at Gimel. Golsa Me'artza Kala Mekushata. The Kala, who is Mekushata, who is decorated and dressed up beautifully, was sent into Galus from her land. Ba'avon ma'asros u'shmita, because of the sin of not properly giving ma'asros or giving shmita. U'ba'arbas shefatim u'shata, and there were four terrible punishments, referring to plague, sword, famine, and becoming imprisoned. Where u'shpata, she was judged. U'me'edya u'shita, and from her beautiful clothing she was stripped. Mishmeres Mafsheta, the Mishmeres that was known as Mafsheta. And here again, we have nearly, basically the use of homonyms, Mekushata, beautifully dressed up and decorated with jewelry. Hushpata was judged with four terrible judgments. Hufshata was stripped of the beautiful clothes. Mafsheta, the Mishmeres of the Kohanim. And so on and so forth. We're not going to go through all of them, obviously, but the incredibly beautiful use of language that Rav Elazar Kalir uses here to help jar us into imagining what life was like when we had the Kohanim in both in the Beis HaMikdash and in the community, helping to strengthen on a daily basis our connection with Ribono Shel Olam and filtering our Avodas Hashem through the Kohanim. One last point about this kina, and that's the point about the Musar. Nearly every stanza out of these 24 lists an avera, or a group of averos, or an attitude for which the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael and the Kohanim was responsible. And this is a critical theme in the kina as well as our Kalir, and for all of us on the day of Tisha B'Av. Every Tainis is a day of mourning, but also a day of tshuva. And our attitude needs to be not what were their averos, what were the averos of the other side, what are the averos of our opponents, what are the averos of our political opponents, what were our averos that we missed, and the opportunities that we missed, and the misguided attitudes that we have that led us to be vulnerable to have such terrible events occur. So in this kino alone, we have mentioned the killing of the Kohen Navi Zachariah. We have the failure to give maestros properly, the failure to keep Shemitah properly. In many, many of these stanzas, as mentioned, not giving tzedakah properly, not feeding the poor properly, not listening to the Musar of the Navi and the Chachamim, connection to Avodah Zarah, an overall attitude of rebelliousness, and so on and so forth. We say in the davening, "Mivnei chata einu galinu me'artzeinu." We don't say "Mivnei chata chata ehem, Mivnei chata sam." We say "Mivnei chata einu." And this kina very strongly emphasizes that point. Presumably, the Kohanim were not the biggest balei avera in the Yam, and yet they suffered because of our averos, and because they suffered, and we lost. This incredible type of beautiful society that once existed and now seems so far from our imagination. And so too, today, during these most difficult times that Am Yisrael is in, we could look at things, as the Rav said, like secular historians, say this person did this and that group did that. And at some level, there's some truth to that, but that's not the way we're supposed to look at it, and certainly not on Tisha B'Av. We're supposed to say, look deeper than ourselves, each person, each family, each in our own way, to try to understand what our contribution needs to be to make the situation in Am Yisrael better, to have a stronger connection to Torah, stronger connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a stronger connection to the land, and of course, a stronger connection between Jew and fellow Jew of whatever stripe they might happen to be. And this is really the Avodas Hayom for all of us today. I want to conclude with one very, very rattling Gemara that focuses on the Kohanim and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately should resonate with us for today. The Gemara towards the end of Titus, on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, discusses an unbelievable episode, I think it's probably familiar to most of us here, that occurred during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was literally going up in flames. There was no more defense, there was no more strategy, the battle had been lost, the fate was sealed, and the end was already not only in sight, but was already occurring. And the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Mishacharam Habayis, at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Barishona Niskapsu Kitos Kitos Shokirte Kohuna Umaftecho Sahet Al Biyodan. Groups of the young Kohanim gathered together, and they had the keys to the Heichal in their hands. The Alu Lagad HaHeichal. And they went up to the roof of the Heichal, Kivyachal, to the closest place, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kivyachal, symbolically. And they said to Hashem the following words. Ribbono Shel Olam, Ho'el v'lo zachinu liyos gizbarim ne'manim, seeing as we, and we in the full sense of the word, the Kohanim, but of course in this case representing all of Am Yisrael, you Hashem gave us a world, you gave us Eretz Yisrael, you gave us the Beis HaMikdash, you gave us a way of life that can integrate the Torah and Ruchnius into our day-to-day life. As we know from the Yom Kippur Davening, from the Avodah, the strong connection between the creation of the world and the creation of the Beis HaMikdash. And basically, the Kohanim, but speaking for Am Yisrael, say, Hashem, you gave us this incredible opportunity, and we failed to live up to the opportunities that you gave us. We failed to live up to the hope that you invested in us, to the optimism that you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, showed by creating this world, by separating Am Yisrael, by giving us a segula, by giving us a land, by giving us a medina, by giving us a Beis HaMikdash, by giving us the Avodah, and we failed to live up to it. And now it's time for us to return the keys. In the modern metaphor, this comes from this Gemara, Lo zachinu liyos gizbarim ne'manim. We failed to live up to the expectations of this incredible experiment called the world and Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. So since we failed, we're turning it back to you, Hashem. You maftechos misuros lecha. The keys are being turned back to you. V'zarku klapi maila, and they threw the keys back to Hashem. V'yatsasa k'ein pisa ziyad, and kivyachol, a hand came out of the heaven. V'kiblasa mehem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu received the keys back from his Kohanim. V'hen kafsu v'naflu l'toch ha'or, and they jumped into the fire. The Alehem Koran Yeshaya Hanavi. We're in a very difficult time, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and we need to prove ourselves worthy of a continuation of the Ribbono Shel Olam's investment in us and in Am Yisrael and our future here in Eretz Yisrael. Ech Yashua Chavetz Elos Hashem.